Alicia Power here from the Hockey Roos, the Australian women's hockey team, and you're listening to the Half Court Press podcast.
Hi, my name is Darcy Bourne. I'm an England, GB and Serbs and hockey player, and you're listening to the Half Court Press podcast.
This is Pumela Mbande, South African hockey captain and goalkeeper. You're listening to the Half Court Press podcast.
Hello everyone, this is Francisca Tala from Chile national team Las Diablas, and this is Half Court Press podcast.
The latest season of the Half Court Press podcast takes a look at several players who have been entertaining us at this summer's tournaments and elsewhere. In Hockey Player Profiles, Teo McLeod talks to several international players within the sport of hockey about their lives, careers and backgrounds.
Kia ora, it's Brooke Roberts here from the New Zealand Black Sticks, and you're listening to the Half Court Press podcast.
Hello and welcome back to the Half Court Press podcast. We have another international standard goalkeeper from the World Cup and Commonwealth Games, which is quickly becoming a theme in this show. In this series, I'm very pleased to be joined by Black Sticks goalkeeper extraordinaire, New Zealand international, Brooke Roberts. Hey, Brooke.
Hi.
Brooke, can you introduce yourself, please? Who are you? Where are you from?
Sure thing. So, as Tao said, I'm Brooke Roberts. I am from New Zealand, and I'm a New Zealand hockey player. I grew up in the small town of Whangarei, Northland, which is a small city, and it is the northernmost city in New Zealand as well. I'm also a business owner, a dog owner, and I'm currently living in New Zealand's biggest city, which is Auckland, only a couple of hours south from home, so it's pretty easy to travel back and forth.
What's your dog called?
My dog's called Andre. Yeah, I was looking out the window. Andre, come here. There he is. He's a rescue dog.
Oh, so cute.
Very good boy.
My mate got a rescue dog from Romania. He loves rescue dogs. He thinks it's really important to do. Otherwise, they get destroyed, don't they?
Yeah.
He set up an Instagram feed for his dog, Frankie. And Frankie has more followers than the Half Court Press and me personally combined.
He's a dog.
Yeah, so if you're interested, Frankie_Steins, rescue dog from at Serbia's Forgotten Paws, 1,070 followers.
Popular dog.
It's amazing. It's amazing. People love animals, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
So basically what we need when we promote this podcast interview, Brooke, is a picture of you and your dog, and then it'll be the most popular episode.
Here we go. Then you'll get 1,070 followers.
Yeah. So who do you play for, club and country?
So my provincial, in New Zealand, you have two clubs. You play for your smaller club, which is what you sort of play in every Saturday. And then we play in our provincial club, which is a big tournament that you play in once a year. So my smaller club is North Shore United Hockey Club. And then my provincial club is North Harbour Hockey Association. And the New Zealand Black Sticks is my national team, which you've already said.
The team who have been annoying me as a British hockey fan all summer, beating England in the World Cup and then Scotland in the Commonwealth Games. So,
sorry. Not sorry.
I'm very interested to find out a bit more about the domestic hockey scene in New Zealand. We'll come on to that in a later section, if that's okay.
Yeah, that's okay.
A bit more interested about yourself first, initially. What have been your recent successes and challenges?
Okay, well, I think my recent successes and my biggest successes in hockey was being selected for this year's World Cup and Commonwealth Games. And they were actually my first two pinnacle tournaments that I've been selected in since becoming a Black Stick in 2016. So I suppose a bit of background to that. My biggest hockey challenges was actually during the last 6 years of my hockey career. So as I said, I debuted in 2016 for the Black Sticks. And it took me 6 years to then accumulate six caps from there. It was a pretty long haul. You know, I spent a lot of my time training and I didn't play any games for my country, didn't really have much time to play club hockey as well. As much as we were occasionally released to play club hockey, I wasn't playing as much hockey as I would have liked to have been because I was so focused on the national program and training with the team. And to be honest, during that 6 years, my confidence, it hit rock bottom and I had completely lost touch of why I started playing hockey. I fell in love with the game of hockey when I was just a five-year-old. And when I was about eight, I watched Charlotte Harrison debut for the Black Sticks. And she was the youngest player in history to ever debut for the Black Sticks. So she was 16 years old. And as another person, Charlotte is from my hometown, it was huge for the town of Whangarei to watch Charlotte debut. And that's actually what inspired me to become a Black Stick one day. So I had a really deep desire and hunger to become a Black Stick one day. And I suppose what helped me hang in there throughout this last 6 years of just absolute difficulty of, you know, another selection comes by for a tour, I don't get picked. You sit down for a feedback meeting, it's the exact same feedback as it's been for the last 10 meetings. What definitely helped me hang in there, I think, was my passion and was that little girl that fell in love with the game once upon a time. The other thing that really helped me was probably my job and lockdown. I was quite scared to step away from the game and take the break that I probably desperately needed because I was worried about losing my position in the team. But New Zealand had such long and strict lockdowns that we had no option really. So after lockdown last year, I came back this year and was actually quite apprehensive to come back and play hockey this year because I didn't want to go through what I'd been through, I suppose, the last few years. It was mentally really challenging. Sometimes you feel miserable, like you're just so miserable because you were just exhausted from training so hard and just not achieving your goals. And I 100% had accepted that it was never going to happen for me. I was like, you know, I'm never going to become one of those iconic goalkeepers that I always wanted to become. You know, that's just not going to be my legacy. But then I talked to my mum on the phone end of last year and she said, just take it training by training, month by month, and see how you feel. Because my mum was a really good dressage rider when she was young. And she felt like she gave up her sport too early. And it's tough, you know, in equestrian. It's really, really hard. And she just said, don't give it up. So I came back this year with quite a different outlook. I sort of changed my why. I changed the legacy that I wanted to leave. And yeah, managed to be selected for this tour for the World Cup and the Commonwealth Games. And my plan was just to go on this tour and have fun. I knew that I was second goalie. I knew that I was going to have limited game time. But for me, it wasn't going to be just another sad year of hockey. Like, I was going to have a blast on this tour, no matter what position I was in. Another important thing and important value for me in life is to help other women thrive. And what better place to do that is on a hockey tournament. So this group of women, I've watched them train so hard for years and years. I just wanted to help them thrive and become better hockey players on this tour. That's sort of what you want to do as a second goalkeeper. So we get into our World Cup campaign, and unfortunately Grace suffered an injury against China, which I was not expecting to happen at all. So that's game one of the World Cup, and we've got several games to go. And the coaches came and spoke to me and they said, you know, Brooke, you're up. You're going to be playing in the World Cup. So this would have been my eighth or ninth international game. And I was really nervous. I was really, really nervous because Grace is a sensational goalkeeper. It was by pure luck that I got this opportunity to come on, but the injury that Grace sustained, like, she did not deserve that at all. She's left a legacy of her own. She's someone that a lot of people look up to, and I had big shoes to fill. You know, you're replacing a goalkeeper who has accomplished so much and who has 85 caps with me playing my ninth cap at the World Cup. I'm like, okay, I mean, no one else here is going to do it. I've got to do this. And I had to come back to my why. Why do I do this? I do this to make my family smile. I do this for the girls and the sisters around me. And I do this for my country. And also, I didn't leave my baby, my business that I started at home, to come over here and not have a great time. So I step out, and in the three games that I did play in the World Cup, I played England, India, and Germany in the quarterfinal. And I just played out of my skin, really. And before every single game, I was nervous. But the thing I said to myself was, these games are not the challenge for me, really. The actual challenge for me in my hockey was the last 6 years. And honestly, if anyone can get through what I went through, and a lot of hockey players and athletes do have to go through really hard yards to get to a certain point in their career, then all of these games are really simple, because I would rather step out tomorrow and play a game against England than go through missing eight selections like I did in the past. That was the hard part of my hockey career, not playing games against England and India. That's the fun part. And yeah, I always said to myself before the games, I've trained too hard. I've sat in the shower crying too many times to not go out there and have fun. And that's exactly what I did. I went out there and had fun. Even when Owsley scored against me in the first 5 minutes, I was actually smiling. I was like, well, I'm here to have fun. Like, if there's anything I'm not going to do today on the field, it's going to be cry. Like, that is not happening at all. So yeah, that's my challenges and successes sort of all wrapped up into one, really.
It didn't look like a second choice goalkeeper as well. There was a I can't remember what game it was against. Did you get a player of the match award during the World Cup as well?
Yeah, I got it against India.
Yeah, where you were just rock solid against some very good attacking players. Lau Ramsey Army is a hell of a forward.
Yeah. I think they had about 16 PCs against us. So my defensive unit and I, we really left it all out there.
Goalkeeping's a funny one, isn't it? It's not only your level, but I've trained with club keepers knowing that one's more senior to me, and he knowing that I'm wanting in his spot, but it's still like a friendship. It's still like a sort of comradeship thing going on. It still feels like a unit within a team, but there's only one position.
Yeah, well, maybe this is the recipe for performing in a tournament, but I can relate to how it felt to wanting to be that number one goalkeeper and feeling that pressure when you get out on the field, you know, someone's coming into the circle and all you're saying to yourself is, don't let it in, don't let it in. Because if you let it in, you might not be top goalie anymore. But as I said, coming on this tour, I had no plans to take that number one spot from Grace. And it still isn't my plan. My plan was to go out there and be the best team player in the team. So, yeah, maybe that's why I managed to perform okay, because I took that pressure off me and it was just all about the team, all about having fun, and all about leaving a lot of passion out there on the turf.
And you got a Player of the Match award in a World Cup match.
Yeah. I'm quite surprised, you know, like, how do you go from being the third goalkeeper for 6 years running, not even getting a glimpse at a pinnacle tournament, to getting player of the match? It's still a lot to wrap my mind around, but I do think I was always capable and it was always there. There's just a lot of anxiety that comes with goalkeeping. And once you can believe in yourself and get rid of that anxiety and block out everyone that says that you can't do it, anybody is unstoppable in what they want to do.
The Half Court Press is now on Patreon. Patreon is a well-known and trusted online platform that allows our fans to support the sports journalism that we create. We offer a tiered subscription plan, with more content being made available to our fans who choose to spend a bit more each month. We at the Half Court Press would appreciate any and all support that you wish to contribute towards our articles, podcasts, and interviews.
I was having a chat with a goalkeeper a little while ago, and he was saying, I make sure my coaches know that I'm number one. I make sure the coaches know that this person was very keen on having a structure of having a first team goalkeeper, a first choice goalie, then a second choice reserve. Whereas other teams seem to rotate them a bit. If you take two goalies to a tournament, Scotland, for example, the Scottish ladies, Amy Gibson and Nikki Cochrane, they rotate every quarter.
Yeah, I noticed that.
And slightly different styles. Keeping Nikki Cochrane is about 5'10", knocking on 6 foot, and Amy Gibson is about 5'6". She's shorter than I am. And so they have slightly different styles, which would have an effect on defensive positioning, I would imagine. What do you think works best?
Well, I've played hockey with a lot of tall goalkeepers, played hockey with a lot of short goalkeepers. I personally think height doesn't make much of a difference, because the shorter goalkeepers I've played hockey with are incredibly agile and they do extra yards in the gym to sort of prove the coach, like, no, I can make those top corner saves. In regards to the culture of you have a top keeper and a second keeper, I don't know. Like, I know that it's nice and probably best for a goalkeeper's performance to know where they stand and that they sit in the number one position. But then I suppose you give that goalkeeper all of the opportunities, all of the game time, and you've got a goalkeeper like myself who's definitely talented enough and definitely good enough to be on the world stage, who's been not really given opportunities over the last 7 years. I do worry about different countries not being able to see goalkeepers that could take their team to the next level. I'm not saying that I'm that goalkeeper that could take a team to the next level, but I think it just makes me a little bit sad, because you do see in a lot of hockey teams, high school teams, club teams, really good hockey players miss out on their opportunities because of a hierarchy in a team. You know, But then in saying that, I wouldn't say that I've been overlooked. Unfortunately, in New Zealand, we had a really long lockdown for the last 2 years, and we only got a handful of games. And when you're preparing for pinnacle tournaments, you need to give your top couple of goalkeepers as much game time as possible. And that's exactly what we did. And I think that that was the right thing to do. Grace had an outstanding... I know that we didn't get the result we wanted at Olympics last year, but Grace had an outstanding Olympics last year. She also played some really good games against Australia in Perth. Had she had more opportunities on the world stage, I think Grace would have been a nominee for goalkeeper of the year by the FIH, you know. So it's really, really difficult when you've got a lot of talent to choose from. Do you rotate your players? Do you not? I don't know. I don't even have the answer for that. Because if I look back at my hockey career, I probably wouldn't change a thing as much as it was, you know, probably one of the tougher routes. I wouldn't change a thing. Yeah.
May I ask how old you are?
I'm 27.
And what do you do outside of hockey? You mentioned that you have a business.
Yeah, so during lockdown, we didn't have much hockey going on. My friend, who I own the business with, she worked in tourism, so she was out of a job. So we started a delivery company. My friend got the idea from volunteering at a flower shop. She saw a gap in the market for delivering gifts and curated goods. And yeah, so we just started off with flowers, moved on to all these different industries, and our company is thriving at home. And yeah, that's what I do outside of hockey. It's pretty busy.
What's your business called?
It's called Bespoke to You. We deliver bespoke items to you.
Where can they find you on social media?
I think we're just called bespoketoyou.nz. That's our social media handle.
There you go. I've got you on Instagram just here, your bespoke company. There's a lovely picture of a New Zealand flag right here. Where's that from?
Yeah, that's from Commonwealth Games. And that's me. And then that's also Anna Crowley, who's one of our defenders in the Black Sticks hockey team. Anna works for us as well. So we provide a job to one of the gals. Yeah.
All right. So I'm interested to find out a bit more about yourself. Where did you go to school and college?
So I went to Ōtaika Primary School. That's was a small school of about 75 kids. So that's where I did my primary school years before moving on to Whangarei Girls High School up north.
So how did you get into hockey and how did you become a goalkeeper? You were saying that your mum is an equestrian athlete.
Mm-hmm. So my grandparents, they looked after my brother and I when we were young. Both my parents worked they owned a business, so they're also busy people. So my grandparents introduced my brother and I to hockey. My tiny primary school at the time somehow could put enough students together to form a hockey team that only lasted 2 years. But that 2 years was good enough to get my brother and I into hockey. So for about my first 5 years, I was playing in the field, playing for my primary school team. And then I moved on to club hockey in Northland for a small club called Borobora Hockey Club. And I just ended up in the goal, you know, children's hockey, sort of rotate through. And I was a bit of a weird kid, still am a bit of a weirdo. And I just loved it. I just loved goalkeeping and I just thought it was so cool with the helmets and all the gear. And, you know, I was a pretty active child. So I wasn't like that typical goalie that was like, I didn't like running. So I decided to be a goalie. Like I love running actually. If I wasn't a goalkeeper, I'd probably do athletics or marathon running or something. But yeah. I just ended up being a goalkeeper. My parents tried to keep me away from it because it's so damn expensive. But we managed to scratch together some secondhand gear until I started working and got a bit better at hockey and I could buy some and get some of my gear sponsored for me. But yeah, my grandparents got me into hockey.
Who were your first teams, your clubs?
Yeah, so my first team was, as said, Otaika Primary School and then Horohoro Hockey Club. And then went to high school where I played for Whangarei Girls High School. And that school was actually where Charlotte Harrison and Samantha Harrison, I think Sammy only went for 1 year to that school before going to getting a quite a nice scholarship to a boarding school in Auckland. But yeah, a pretty good hockey school that one was.
Producing a few international players.
Yeah. Northland, for such a small city of recent, Northland has, produced Stacey Mickelson, Charlotte Harrison, Sam Harrison, Ella Gunson, Brooke Neal. Oh, forgive me if any of them have listened to this podcast and I've forgotten them. It's too many to remember, but, Katie Dorr, Maddie Dorr. Yeah, and we're a really small town, so I'm pretty proud of what Northland has managed to do.
Brooke Neal's a good player. Katie Dorr was impressed with during the World Cup.
Yeah.
I did a series called Hockey Dream Team. Mm-hmm. We got a male hockey personality and a female hockey personality, and we pick six of the best men's players in the world, six of the best women's players in the world, and then break it down to have a six-a-side mixed gender team, so three and three. It's really interesting because you were saying, oh, I really want my female goalkeeper. Oh, that means if you give up a female somewhere else because you can't have four.
Yeah.
Or whatever, and vice versa. You have to sort of, each person would have to give their piece about the players they want to get into the mixed gender team. And Stacey Mickelson was one of the names that came up time and time again.
Yeah.
For a six-a-side team, she would be perfect because she was one of the best players in the world in about three different positions.
Yeah. I think the best player in the world. There's not a lot of hockey following here in New Zealand to have been able to, not enough voters for her in New Zealand. I'm just biased, but I think Stacey's awesome. I a very humble gal, lovely family. Her dribbling style will probably never be seen again. It was something very special. I think when you do grow up in such a small town, we have some incredible coaches, but you don't have access to that coaching all the time like you do in Auckland. And I think you end up teaching yourself a lot of your own things and a lot of your own style. And that could be why Stacey was the player that she was. She's a very self-sufficient person.
So how did you progress in the sport? What were the early successes and challenges?
How did I progress? So I started off playing in primary school and then I went on to Northland age groups. So I played like under 11s, under 13s, under 15s, under 18s. That's all for Northland. I worked my way through high school hockey. And again, I had to work really, really hard to make the top team. And in fact, my first 3 years of high school, I was in the third and second 11. And then finally, in the last year of high school, I made the first 11 hockey team. During my time in Northland, because I was born in Northland and then I left Northland when I finished high school to come to Auckland and study. But during my time in Northland, I was coached by a guy called Bevan Gibbs. I'm not sure if you've heard about him. He's got like kids and family now, but he used to present Northland and the Black Sticks, and he was our National Hockey League coach. So he really believed in me when I was young. He saw the potential in my work ethic and determination. And he gave me opportunities when I was younger, which I felt like it did boost me into NZ programs when I was younger as well. And probably if it wasn't for Bevan coming down and coaching me at 6 a.m. in the morning when he didn't need to, all of that stuff, I probably wouldn't be in the position I am in today. Anyway, so I finished school and I moved to Auckland when I was 17, studied early childhood, somehow ended up in logistics, but that's fine. Story for another day. And that's sort of when I started to really solidify myself in the New Zealand program, made the North Harbour under 21s and the NHL team. You know, I just kept showing up, played NZ under 18s, Junior World Cup, went through all the ranks, went through all of the fantastic training camps and programs that they had set for us. It was a really intense program. Yeah, and I don't know, basically I just kept on showing up and that's where I am now today. Just worked my way up to the top.
What year was the Junior World Cup?
2016, I think. Yeah, I was 21. When I played in the Junior World Cup. So I was like at the higher age range at the Junior World Cup, which was good because you want your goalkeeper to be like a little bit older than the rest, a little bit more experienced than the rest. So yeah, World Cup was fun. Really enjoyed it.
Side note, I'm a little bit impressed by Sarah McCauley, the Irish fullback. You played both the Junior World Cup and the Senior World Cup.
She went from juniors up to seniors, right? Was she the one who debut was at World Cup? I know that quite a few Irish players debuted at World Cup, and they did fantastic as well. You wouldn't know.
Yeah, I mean, I thought she had a great turnout. She was a very strong tackler. She went to the Olympics last year. She had a couple of caps. She was one of the younger players just before the Olympics.
Yeah.
Somebody got an injury and she got promoted. And so like her third or fourth cap was at the Olympics.
Yes.
And then by the World Cup, she was like, well, slightly more well established, but also going to the Junior World Cup in the same year. So it's like, well done. More than Sarah McCauley, tune into the Half Court Press podcast. She was a moderately recent interview.
I have to listen to that.
The Half Court Press is on social media. Feel free to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Moving on to your current career.
Yeah.
Who are you playing for now?
Right now I'm playing for North Shore United Hockey Club and the North Harbour Hockey Association.
So how long have you been there?
Almost maybe like 9 years. Yeah, since I moved to Auckland. So 9 years. Yeah.
What's good about your club, your teams? What's good about them?
Well, North Shore United Hockey Club, that is a good little club. I really like the culture there. We really love bringing in and developing younger players. The reason why I stay with North Shore United Hockey Club is we're not the best club. We're normally on the lower part of the table most years. But the thing I have about club hockey is I do sort of struggle seeing teams be stacked with quite a few good players because it just sort of makes it really hard for the smaller hockey clubs that are trying to develop young players. And yeah, it's quite tricky. You know, I'm sure it happens all around the world. So I do just stay at my club, I suppose, just to spread the professional hockey players around. I think it can be really tough if you're playing for a weaker club to step up and play in a club which has an international lineup. I just don't think it's very fair at all. And I think it's tough on all of the younger players. So I really enjoy playing for my club. It's a very strong culture club. And we've got some very good young players in our club. Hopefully they can stick around with us.
New Zealand have had a rather restrictive couple of years with the pandemic.
Yeah.
Internationally, at least over in Europe, in certain parts of Europe, it's been a few respectful tones about how your PM, Jacinda Ardern, has led your country. You seem to have kept yourself quite safe, but I would imagine as an athlete, it's possibly quite hard. It's been a hard couple of years. How's it been with that, and how's the first season been back?
Yeah, well, as I said, I think the reason why, like, the last 3 years for me should have been a year, 3 years of a lot of exposure. The reason why that didn't happen for me was because of the lockdown in New Zealand, where, of course, we needed to expose Grace and Georgia, our first and second goalkeepers, because we only had about, before the Olympics, I think we only had six or eight opportunities to do so. So I think that made it really hard to develop and build depth into our hockey team and our wider squad. A lot of players are in the same boat as me. And it was really difficult because it was a very uncontrollable circumstance. You know, you could go and talk to the coach about how do I get more game time. But at the end of the day, our country's locked down. We can't get out. People can't get in. You know, we need to give respect to our A team and give them that game time. So that was the first thing that was quite tough with lockdown. But then, as I said, I think being in lockdown really helped me because it helped me to establish my career outside of hockey. But as a team, and I think we saw this was quite evident in a lot of our international teams, first coming back onto the world stage, I do think we were slightly behind the pace. You can't replicate international hockey. We played matches against boys back home here. Every person in this team, including the management, we all worked hard and did our best to try and be as good as we could have been at the Olympics, but it was just quite difficult, really. And I know that the girls came back from Olympics. They went into their two-week isolation in our MIQ hotels, and then they came straight out into a four-month New Zealand level four lockdown. It was quite difficult. I think we did surprise a lot of people at the World Cup and at the Commonwealth Games. But I think it was just no surprise to us and the girls, really. We'd been at home. We'd been training really hard. We're under fantastic leadership with coaches like Shane McAleese at the helm. He has a really good way of explaining things. We played quite a few practice matches against Spain, Chile, and the Dutch before the Hockey World Cup. And I think the rest was just up to, you know, the top 4 inches of our body, you know, our head. We just had to go in there with grit, determination, do all the scouting that we could do, all of our homework, and try and back our skills in our practice.
So you've had quite a busy tour, busy summer with a tour around Europe.
It was a bit of a bonus summer for us, actually, because it's winter over here. So it was a bonus for us. So we always have quite quiet summers, actually, back in New Zealand, because it's down season for all hockey around the world.
Yeah, a World Cup and a Commonwealth Games.
Yeah, 2 months away from home. It was a busy couple of months.
What were the stories? Anything repeatable for a podcast?
We all just love frightening each other, I guess. Like, you sort of, you walk around a corner and someone's going to jump out and go, at you and try and scare you. I think we all, I don't know what the stories are. I think we all just created a really amazing family in our unit of the team. And it was definitely an environment that I've never been in before. It's a very different tone to what we've had in the past because everybody in the team was new. Everyone was sort of in the same boat. We all had to step up. We all needed to play well if we didn't want to, I suppose, lower our ranking on the world stage. And we all did just that. And there were emotional days, negatively emotional days, and happy tears days. It was quite a roller coaster of a tour. I suppose, to go in there thinking, you know, we'd like to try and beat China and try and make the knockout rounds to completely winning our pool. You know, that was incredible for the whole team.
In the World Cup, this was, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Where you did qualify for the knockout rounds by beating England.
Yeah, England and India. And drawing of China. Yeah.
What was your favourite moment of the World Cup?
Probably beating India and knowing that we had like topped our pool was probably our favourite moment because, yeah, like we heard people saying like we're inexperienced, you know, we've lost a lot of good players, we're the team that everyone wants to beat. So to be able to write this story at World Cup and inspire a lot of people and a lot of teams that, yeah, beating India, topping our pool would have been my favourite moment of the World Cup.
What about the Commonwealth Games?
Commonwealth Games is still a bit sad for me. I think we played so much better against England and India at the Commonwealth Games than when we played them at the World Cup. So, yeah, to be able to fall short against them when we had played so well is still a bit of a sore spot. I think in a few months or maybe even next year when we've done something else special on the world stage, I'll be able to say I'm proud of how we've turned things around from Comm Games. But right now I'm still trying to, I suppose, work through the disappointment of Comm Games losing that bronze medal match, you know, in a shootout, losing that semi-final in a shootout. I don't know. I definitely fulfilled my purpose of being there, but it's hard to feel a bit happy about it right now.
What was the atmosphere like in the digs, in the stadium? How did it compare to the World Cup?
Yeah, it was cool. I wish the stadium was bigger because it totally would have sold out, you know. Yeah, I mean, the atmosphere was incredible. I especially love playing India because I just think the Indian supporters are just, like, on the ball all the time. Like, yeah, you can't hide from those supporters. They're so passionate, but they're also so lovely. And they just love watching hockey, you know. They just love the game. And, yeah. Yeah, it was, I mean, again, it's a totally different world for me going to World Cup and Comm Games. I didn't really expect to be playing on the world stage in front of crowds that big and that passionate. Yeah.
I went to the Scotland Kiwi game at the Comm Games. And what I really liked was, even though Scotland lost the match, there's a group of Scottish fans down the front, probably about 100, 150 yards down the front and to my right, who did not stop singing the entire game. I think about sort of 17, the old, I think the technical term is a gaggle, in Scotland flags, and they're singing the entire game.
We need
more of that in our sport, I think.
Oh, I agree. I think I remember running out to do the lineups for our game against Scotland. And like just a roar coming from the stands and to see the Scotland flags waving. You know, I'm a proud Kiwi gal, but like even just to see those Scottish flags waving and the enthusiasm from the crowd, like it just gives you goosebumps, you know, and it makes you just feel so proud to be there. I think a crowd is a respectful crowd is everything, makes a game. Yeah.
The Half Court Press is a multi-sport media outlet. You can check out our articles, opinion pieces, and PDF magazines on our website, www.halfcourtpressmagazine.com.
So moving on to the next section, opinions, which is the fun bit of the interview. What's club hockey like in New Zealand?
So club hockey, I would say for now, naturally the best competition is in Auckland. And it's a really good competition when all of the Black Sticks are home. It's really enjoyable, particularly for me in North Shore United Hockey Club. If you play a club like Somerville, Somerville is one of the best clubs in Auckland. Actually used to be coached by Katie Glynn and was just like a team filled with international and ex-international hockey players. So for me as a goalkeeper in a lower experienced club team to go ahead and play Somerville is an incredible game to play. You know, you're playing an international lineup. Our strikers from New Zealand are really good strikers. So yeah, I do think club hockey in New Zealand is really good. I think it's really high quality. And yeah, I could go and play hockey in Europe, but I do feel like I've got everything I need here in New Zealand to become a better hockey player with our club system.
You mentioned earlier on there's like a two-tier system.
Oh, it's not like a two-tier system. So you've got club hockey, which you play every Saturday, and that's sort of for your club within your province. And then you play provincial hockey, which you get selected into that provincial team from the club hockey. Do you know what I mean? So you go and play your club hockey every Saturday, and then from those teams, they then select a provincial hockey team. Yeah.
Like a representative size.
Yeah. Yeah, like it's, because I think it's quite different in Europe. I think because New Zealand's so small, we've got like a population of 5 million. I suppose that's the only way it really makes sense to get your best hockey in New Zealand. Yeah, whereas I suppose over in the United Kingdom, you guys have a higher population, so it might be a bit more difficult to replicate what we're doing.
Well, yes and no. The leagues here are separated out. So the English have their own league, the Welsh have their own league.
Yes.
Scotland have their own league.
I suppose it's like the UK. And, you know, you've got the UK and you guys would take, you know, Great Britain to the Olympics. And, yeah, if UK would have Scotland, England, Welsh, that sort of format, that's sort of what we do in New Zealand, but on a much smaller scale. Because, of course, like, if you play for the Auckland hockey team, Auckland is not a country, unlike Scotland. Do you know what I mean? It's quite confusing to explain. They do it in Australia as well with their Australian Hockey League.
Yeah, but they have a country the size of a continent. I think it's bigger than Europe.
Yeah.
They have to.
They've got a lot of space to work with over there.
There's a big conversation about where they centralise the programme, I believe, and things like this.
Yeah.
The former captain of the Scottish team, Kaz Cuthbert, I believe that in her interview with me, she said that she went off to play in New Zealand for a year, and she played for a team, and she won the league, and she's like, oh, great, we've won the league. And she turned around and went, no, we've now got finals.
Oh,
it's like, what? We just won the league.
Oh,
what are you talking about?
I wonder what team she was playing for. Funny, I have to ask her. I have to make friends with her and find out what tour that was on.
Apparently, it's a similar style to the Aussies. You have, you know, you win your flag or something, but then you have to go and win it again with like a finals competition. Which is less common over here in Europe.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's not easy to get medals over here. You got to win twice to prove that you can win.
What do you think of the Pro League?
Oh, I think the Pro League is awesome. I'm grateful enough to have played a couple of games for the Pro League. I played against Belgium and I played against Argentina. For us younger hockey players, it's a really cool way to go around and see the world. Yeah, I just think it's awesome. You know, you see like the, well, New Zealand, you see the Rugby Sevens, they do like a World Series. And you've just seen sort of like that consistent competitive hockey happening, and it's always including the top 8 teams in the world. I do think it's cool.
It's invitational, isn't it? And I think if it was purely the top 8 in the world, I think Ireland would be there. There's a couple of teams, and over the men's side, South Africa are there, and they're not in the top 8. But it's a bit different this year because the key reason the Aussies haven't travelled, but...
We haven't travelled. It has been difficult, and I'm not 100% clear on sort of what the qualifying, weight is about. Yeah, but I do think it's a cool way to get more games happening. I think it's great for New Zealand because it gives us as the players a bit more of a consistent national program. Traveling anywhere out of New Zealand except for Australia is considered a really, really long trip. You know, it took me 40 hours to get home from the Com Games. So it is nice to have the Pro League and to have a little bit of consistency in our program. That is something I really like about the Pro League. You know you're getting matches. You know that you're getting opportunities as a team to grow and develop. Now that all of this COVID is, fingers crossed, done and out of the way with, the hockey world can get a bit of traction with Pro League and see if this is the right direction for hockey to go in. But from seeing what a world circuit has done with other sports such as Sevens rugby, I think it is pretty positive for the sports. And I hope to see it evolve and grow and become a more inclusive tournament as well.
Do you think one of the older formats, like a World League system or a Champions Trophy, with a slightly clearer, more distinctive qualification process, would be a bit more inclusive to teams like Canada, South Africa, Ireland?
Yeah, well, you're absolutely right. I think we do need to include these other teams, because I don't consider them teams that are below us. Those are the teams that can cause upsets at these sorts of things, and hockey fans love that. And if I was the team that got upset, I wouldn't love that. But, you know, but then I would also love being the team that would beat the Dutch out of the blue, kind of thing. You know, hopefully, you know, that might happen one day, and that would be amazing to watch. So, yeah, as said, I would love to see the Pro League become a little bit more inclusive of the other hockey teams that struggle to get more game time together.
What makes a good goalkeeper? Who are the best goalkeepers in the world and why?
Well, first of all, to me, I quite like watching Balansucci and Savita. I think you just watch them, you know, you just watch Balan in the anthem. They just embody such passion for the sport, and you can just see behind their game that they have put in hours of video analysis. I think I can't stress how important it is to watch hockey and watch the way that other teams do things, and as a goalkeeper, pick up on shapes, how a certain player shapes up to take a sweep or to take a hit that's going to go bottom left or top right, and same with flicking. Video analysis is very important for goalkeeping. And then of course there's all of like the physical strength that you have to do, going to the gym, working on those Olympic movements, becoming an explosive athlete. And then there's just the hours of hockey you do to make those bread and butter saves second nature to you. I think if you can combine your physical ability and really good homework and scouting as a goalkeeper, that will make you a confident goalkeeper. So you can make confident decisions. You can call your players confidently. And it's all just going to come out on the field. You're going to be able to play freely and with passion. And you're going to be able to leave some pretty rememberable performances for people.
And how does Belen Suchi embody that, Savita? How does she, what are the attributes that you see, that you watch?
Valence, I've tried to do what she does in goal. You know how you, sometimes I've sort of tried to open the gate and show the player, you know, a space of the goal where I'd like them to go, and then I try and throw myself at it and make that save, and I can't, but she can. Belen just flows with the game so well, you know. And then Savita, she's just a clinical goalkeeper. She's always in the right spot, I think in penalty shootouts. She doesn't play too many mind games with the players. I think she knows what she's up against, and she mirrors them, and she just doesn't show them any space for a player to have a play at the goal. And then when it just comes to passion, you can just tell that they love playing for their country. Of course, like Savita is the captain, and I just think that she represents India so beautifully. And, you know, she just embodies to me what a strong woman is. And then Belen, you see her, she's in tears during the anthem. And when you see someone in that mind space in tears of passion during the anthem, that's going to be a bloody hard player to come up against, because like she is wearing her heart on her sleeve there. Like she is representing her flag and her country with passion. She's not going to let a goal in easy. It's going to be pretty tough to score against someone in that mindset.
Who have been the best players that you've played with and the best players that you've played against?
Best players I've played with, as I said, like look up to Stacey Mickelson and Brooke Neal. Stacey just throws so many skills at you. The ball is like a magnet to her hockey stick. Like, man, like she's like embarrassed the heck out of me sometimes, eh? But yeah, she's a very crafty hockey player. Brooke Neal, really, really good defender. I really like her as a human. She's a really beautiful person. Huge on team culture. She's really intelligent. She's someone that I really look up to. I just like the way she goes about life. Another player I've actually played with is Lena Tice from the Irish team. She came over and played North Harbour Hockey Association with me. Something I really liked about her was her wide skill set that she has. I think a lot of hockey players saw her at our National Hockey League, and she really showed people what a defender with a wide range of skills can do on a field, and how much they can set the tone and create the game. For players that have played against, you know, you've got like your typical, first time I played Granato was at the Junior World Cup. She made me look like a 5-year-old. Like, it was just unreal. It was like, whoa. Marjo Granato. Yeah.
Both of them
are insane. I don't think I've played her sister. But yeah, Marjo's just special, eh? And then Salima, she just has unbelievable speed, hey? Unbelievable speed. And like, I just, the way that she can transition from midfield to becoming a striker, and I'm trying to call my defensive system, and Salima just pops up, and I'm like, you know, like you look at the ball for 1 second, and then I look over and Salima's there, and I'm like, oh, how did you get there? Like, I turn my back for 30 seconds and she's there. And I really like the way that Lorenz just demands the game. Yeah, I've been very lucky, to play against some very, very talented hockey players in my small amount of games that I've played. But when it did come to playing World Cup, I never really took notice of them. I was just like, there's a ball and it's probably going to get hit at me soon. And I just take the shot. Yeah.
The Half Court Press is now on Patreon. Patreon is a well-known and trusted online platform that allows our fans to support the sports journalism that we create. We offer a tiered subscription plan, with more content being made available to our fans who choose to spend a bit more each month. We at the Half Court Press would appreciate any and all support that you wish to contribute towards our articles, podcasts, and interviews.
As we begin to wind up, what are your plans for the future?
Well, plans for the future, I guess, just keep showing up to the hockey field, you know, and just for me, it's just taking it day by day and just making sure that I enjoy it. Because if you don't enjoy hockey, then what good are you doing yourself? What good are you doing your team if you're not enjoying it? So my plans for the future is to keep playing hockey in a way that I love it. Right now, I'm taking a bit of a break from hockey. When I say a break, it's off season in New Zealand. Like, I'm not retiring. That's not happening. So this weekend, we've got our club semi-final, and then finals will be next weekend. And then that'll be it for hockey in New Zealand for the year. So that's going to wind down. I'm going to take the rest of the year away from the hockey field, continue to run and get stronger. And I'm just going to focus on my business, because I've taken this 2-month hiatus from running my company. Just this next term of business is really important for me. Christmas is always a big time for couriers.
Give us another advert for your company.
Well, if you have a friend or family member in New Zealand and you want to send them a cake or a nice bunch of flowers in the next 6 months, have a look at our Instagram page, Bespoke to You, and figure out how you can get gifts delivered by the cutest company in town.
Are they going to be the next shirt sponsor for the Kiwi hockey team?
Give us a few years. I don't even know if we can afford 16 shirts, let alone being able to put printing on them. We're only in the startup phase.
What makes hockey special?
What makes hockey special is the way that it builds people and brings people together. Yeah.
If you could describe New Zealand hockey, Kiwi hockey, in 3 words, what would they be?
From my experience with the girls over the last 2 months, it would be fun. We have a lot of fun on the field and off. Determined and very hardworking. Very nuggety. Yeah, I've used all my words up. There's so many words.
Brooke Roberts of New Zealand Hockey, thank you so much.
Not a problem. Thank you.
This has been a Half Court Press production by Teo McLeod. If you have enjoyed this show, please leave us a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts and Facebook.